about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Lord, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the many ways that your word empowers us, quickens us, equips us, and strengthens us to do battle every single day of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you give us in your word as you tell us in more than one place to pray without ceasing. Teach us, and Lord, set us on fire afresh with the spirit of prayer today. Empower us to be the praying and the worshiping and praising people you want us to be, and guide us so that with every passing day we'll come to better understand why that's so very, very important for our own lives, for that of our families, for our community, our nation, our world. Thank you, Lord, for the chance, and empower us more and more to be the people of prayer, the people given to prayer you want us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and I want to remind you once again, we do have a new feature that we want to remind you about that is to be a part of, and we invite all of our listeners to be a part of it as well. And all the features that we provide for you, we want you to take advantage of. Keep in mind, we want to invite you to the Churban at urbanfamilytalk.com. And it's good to have each and every person listening and to be a part of our listening family. Also want to invite you to like our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live. And so any and all the ways you can tune in, we invite you to do that. And again, that website is urbanfamilytalk.com. Our guest today is Dr. Dave Butts. He's the president of Harvest Prayer Ministries and a friend. We've had him on. It's been a little while, but we had him on before, but we're grateful to have him with us by way of phone today. Dave, how are you today?
I am doing great, and I am so privileged to be here with you and get some time to share with our listeners.
Well, it's great to have you once again. You were with us in studio before, and you live in Virginia, correct?
In Terre Haute, Indiana.
Indiana. Okay. You know, I saw something on your website, and that threw me off there. But that's right. You said Indiana. So, and now you're the president of Prayer Harvest Ministries. And as we start off, Dave, would you tell our listeners a little bit more about what Prayer Harvest or Harvest Prayer Ministries is about?
Certainly. My wife and I, 25 years ago now, can't believe it, began Harvest Prayer Ministry. Well, I was 24, I guess. We're moving into 25. began this little ministry as a way to encourage the church to become a house of prayer for all nations. And we really have seen God move in powerful ways in churches all over the nation. We go to all kinds of churches. When they call us and say, we want some help in growing in prayer, we don't ask to see their certificate. We go there to teach them what God's word says regarding prayer. Mm-hmm. And about 800 churches later now, we have seen some wonderful things happen. God has taken this little ministry and added to it. We have a bookstore online. We have a publishing house called Prayer Shop Publishing. We actually have about 40 books now that not only us but other authors as well that we have published just to help the church get great materials on prayer. We also have a wonderful magazine that goes out four times a year called Prayer Connect Magazine. Mm-hmm. That would be the thing I would just encourage those who want to grow in prayer to look carefully at Prayer Connect Magazine, because it is a wonderful way to just regularly get great teaching on prayer, hear about what's going on in prayer around the nation and even around the world. Mm-hmm. And so all of those are at our website, harvestprayer.com. That's a place for people to get a lot of resources. Obviously, there's some books and magazines for sale, but there are also hundreds and hundreds of articles on prayer that are free downloads that people can go there. It soon becomes a resource. And I know that sometimes people don't think in terms of how to spell that. So it's Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T, prayer, P-R-A-Y-E-R, harvestprayer.com. As a, I think, a great resource for people to grow in prayer.
Okay. And so that's the website for Harvest Prayer Ministries, then, correct?
It is.
Okay. All righty then. Can you tell us a little bit more about, okay, just as you provide leadership for Harvest Prayer Ministries, for a person listening that might be thinking, well, why is an emphasis on prayer so important? How would you respond to that question?
The interesting thing is the fact that the question would be asked, and it would be. You are absolutely right. It'd be asked by a lot of people, but that tells us a lot about the condition of the church.
That's right.
When you start reading the New Testament and you see the church was birthed at a prayer meeting, you know, 10 days of prayer before Pentecost, and then you start seeing what they were dedicated to and what they were committed to. Scripture uses the word devoted to prayer. And you start looking in the book of Acts, particularly at the astonishing amount of prayer that was the underpinning of everything that they did, and you begin to start to see in the New Testament that prayer is absolutely the foundation of the work of the church. It's how they stay connected to their Lord Jesus, and it is how then they begin to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit to see the work of the Lord done. Prayer is literally the engine, if you will, of the church that keeps it running. Unfortunately, what we can have often done is substituted man-made, flesh-oriented sort of things, where we set up things that we can do, and then we do that, and we do it for God, and we do it many times for the right reason. We love the Lord, we want to do things, but we wonder why things don't happen, why we don't see the power of God. The power of God comes when we depend upon the power of God, and that happens in prayer.
That's right.
So, actually, when someone starts to ask me that question, you got to look out, because I could go on for a long time on that.
Yeah, and you know, Dave, I appreciate you sharing your heart on that. And, you know, one of the realities is that sometimes I like to say that if we're wise, we'll stay in the school of prayer all our life and never graduate. Because
that's right.
There's so much that we all can continue to learn from the Holy Spirit, our divine tutor. And the fact is, prayer helps in every part of life. And so I appreciate, again, you sharing your thoughts there. But as we move forward to, wanted to ask Dave, you were going to share some about just your own testimony of where you are in your own personal journey with the Lord. And so I want to invite you this time to share along that line.
You know, I thank you for asking. And it's interesting, because what I want to share with you, where God has me right now, where I am, really has to do also with what I'd love to do a little sharing and teaching on biblically.
Okay.
Because about a year ago, God put me on the peace path. And now, people hear about someone's on the war path, you know, they're out there going for it. But God put me off the war path and on the peace path.
Okay.
I just begin to suddenly realize how much of God's Word taught about peace. And so I began to study this, I began to pray over, I began to grow in that area, you know, I did just a minimal amount of teaching. And then it's like the Lord hit me saying, you know, you need to write on this. Mm-hmm. That prayer and peace go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, oh, I've never even thought about that. And so I started studying on this. And finally, about the first of this year, my wife and I set aside some time to head to a place where we could get up by ourselves and do some serious writing.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I'll tell you, it was flowing. I was doing a 30 days of walking with Jesus in peace. That wasn't the title, but it's not going to be the title, but that's what I was working on. I got about 10 chapters into that,
mm-hmm.
and I got a phone call from my doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a few things going on that had this had us all suspicious. And my doctor called to tell us that I had lymphoma.
Hmm.
I had specifically a rare form called B-cell mantle lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It's tough to catch, and then it's tough to treat.
Hmm.
And
okay.
Less than 5% of lymphoma patients have that. The prognosis was not good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to tell you, in the middle of what had been not quite a year of just immersing myself in studying, praying over peace,
mm-hmm.
I got to see something happen.
Mm-hmm.
In my own life, in my wife's life, we heard this. We heard this about lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
And the peace of God absolutely captured our heart.
Mm-hmm.
We did not fret. We did not cry. As a matter of fact, I would tell you, my wife would say the same thing, we've never shed a tear over cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We have shed quite a few tears over the wonderful grace and generosity and blessing of Christian brothers and sisters who have ministered to us.
Mm-hmm.
That has brought many a tear of joy.
Mm-hmm.
But never one over cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The peace of God has done something amazing. I don't mean that there's not been times where we've just sighed and wished it hadn't happened,
mm-hmm.
and would like to get on with normal life, whatever that is.
Right.
But I'm at a point right now where I'm every third week I go into the hospital for a full 5 days,
mm-hmm.
of really intense chemo.
Mm-hmm.
My cancer was stage 4. I am very aggressive. And my oncologist is equally aggressive,
mm-hmm.
for which I'm grateful.
Okay.
And they're going after this with everything they've got. And what I love is there is a wonderful combination of the best that medical science has,
mm-hmm.
and the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
I had to tell you, Joseph, I literally have thousands of people praying for me. And by the way, anybody listening, please join that number. I don't think there's anything such thing as too much prayer. I'm always looking for more on that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the advantages of having spent the last quarter century teaching on prayer,
mm-hmm.
is you get a lot of people that you've taught on prayer who,
mm-hmm.
are now, you know, more than willing and eager to pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel so covered in prayer.
That's good.
And, you know, when
That's
I
good.
Found out I had this, I went to the elders from my church and followed the teaching of James, and I was anointed with oil, and our elders laid on hands and prayed for me.
Mm-hmm.
We are combining every bit of faith and teaching of the Word of God along with the way God, I believe, has blessed and trained medical personnel.
Dave, I'm going to jump
together,
in. We're coming up on a break here. We'll pick up on the other side. Our guest is Dr. Dave Butts, the president of Harvest Prayer Ministries. We'll be right back after this break.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this family, Jeremy and Sharon, and a couple kids, and they're all very healthy, and they did something to save money. They switched from health insurance to MediShare. And then they had a third baby, a little girl named Anya, and she was very sick.
We've had a lot of hospital visits.
A whole week in a children's hospital, CAT scans and blood tests and chemical tests, and I think we saw a dozen doctors. It was all shared.
Yeah, the bills were shared by the other members of MediShare. That's how this works. So get this, they save hundreds a month, they don't have to deal with health insurance companies or government health care plans, and they get to be part of a community that cares.
MediShare has always been there for us and helped meet the needs that we have as a family.
It's no wonder this is growing so fast. It is worth looking into. Here's how. Call 855-PSALM-23. Now, it's available everywhere but Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
What does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
Joe Green, one of my teammates on the Pittsburgh Steelers, once told me about the time he was ready to quit. The team had been losing, so one day in 1972, he cleaned out his locker and headed for the airport. One of the Steeler coaches eventually persuaded him to return, but his story illustrates one of the challenges of leadership, keeping everyone on the team focused and committed to the mission through thick and thin. Whether with our personal goals or as leaders of others, we must always keep the vision out front and readily accessible. It's easy to forget sometimes why we do what we do, but keeping our eyes on the prize can keep us going.
Tony Dungy. Discover more at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
Power Jams.
I just happen to be listening to the radio, like I always say.
Power Jams.
You just happen to come on once, and I said, what is this? And I heard this, that electricity sound. And I said, what is this?
Power Jams.
And then the next thing I know, you put on two or three songs, and I said, wow. And they were there.
Power Jams.
And then you came on, you called a lady mama. I think you call her mama. And then you got Jose. And I said, listen to these folks on this radio.
Power Jams.
Wake up, show.
If you blessing me, just imagine how you blessing others.
Come on, turn it up in my headphones. Go ahead now. Let's do this.
Come on, let's win these young peoples to the Lord. Wait
a minute. Jose, cut that down.
Hey, Jose. What?
Not man. That's the wrong song, Jose.
Can't win no young peoples with that. Come on, bring that thing in like it's supposed to be.
Power Jams.
That's it. Power Jams, the wake-up show, coming back to Urban Family Talk.
Hey, baby.
Saturday, April 1st at 8 o'clock a.m. and again at 8 p.m. right here on Urban Family Talk.
You are God and King. You're the master of everything. You are all your robed in majesty. Holy Lamb of God, we crown you the Lord of Lords. You're the greatest gift of all. Thou who hast saved us from your gift of love. Yes, we do.
We thank you
for saving us. Yes, we do.
The comforter,
for keeping us.
Redeemer,
yeah,
the
blessed Trinity.
The music of Darwin Hobbs, the song You Are God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession session here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest is Dr. Dave Butts. He's the president of Harvest Prayer Ministries. And Dave, as we start off this next segment, would you take time to pray for listeners who, you know, everyone's storm is different, but everyone goes through storms. And as you're sharing about yours, there are many that may think of something either similar or maybe different, but at the same time, maybe feels maybe as intense in their own life. Would you pray for our listeners that may be going through storms at this time?
I certainly will.
Okay.
Lord, I thank you that you promise never to leave us.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, that's not just in good times, but in bad times as well. You are there. You are present. Lord, would you teach us to depend upon you, to experience, to sense your presence, to know your loving arms wrapped around us. Lord, whether that is a physical issue like cancer or heart disease or any other kind of illness, or whether it's a relationship problem or a financial struggle, Lord, the list of issues that we could be going through in this world are so many. You, Lord, told us in this world you will have tribulation, and we confess you're right on that one. But we ask you, Lord, to fulfill your promise to be with us always, even in the midst of those tough times. Lord, even today, may you wrap your loving arms and whisper your words of love and peace to those who are in the midst of tough times. We thank you that you are more than willing to do that.
Thank you.
Because of your love for us. We ask it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for our brother Dave, and thank you for the privilege of having him on the broadcast today. And Father, we lift him up to you now, Father, and we pray that you'd raise up more people that will walk alongside him in prayer as he goes through this journey. Thank you for being Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Father. Just flood Dave's life with your grace, your peace, your mercy, and your spirit of wholeness in the name of Jesus. And let your peace abide mightily upon him. Engulf him in your spirit of peace as he and his wife walk through the journey. Bless him according to your perfect will. And Lord, for other listeners, as Dave has prayed, Father, whose lives are going, they're experiencing storms as well, Lord, minister your peace and wholeness and grace in their lives according to your perfect will. And Lord, I pray that you help them more and more to get into your word more, as well as to lean upon you in prayer, knowing that as they walk with you, they're going to be okay. As they stay in close fellowship with you, Lord, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer and intimacy as we walk that way day by day with you. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, our guest is Dr. Dave Butts, the president of Harvest Prayer Ministries. And Dave, before you pick up with your story and your testimony there, would you define for our listeners, define peace? And of course, we're speaking of P-E-A-C-E, not P-I-E-C-E. Define peace for us as we pick up here.
Well, I think it's important for us to understand peace biblically, mm-hmm. not simply our own ideas or what our society says.
Right.
Peace is never simply the absence of hostility. Mm-hmm. You know, we often say, I just want to be at peace. I just want people to leave me alone. I just want, you know, they're just saying, I just want everyone to go away. I want no hostility, no contention, no problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what the Bible teaches. The word, particularly the Hebrew, is shalom.
Mm-hmm.
And that word peace, shalom, really has to do with the idea of complete. It has to do with perfection in a real sense, that there is a completeness that comes to us that has to do with every part of who we are. It is our thought life. It's our inner being. It is those things around. It has to do with everything mm-hmm. that we are. And so to me, the prime example biblically of peace would be Jesus. You know, we just finished the Easter season,
mm-hmm.
and you think of Jesus the night of his arrest, and there's such chaos, and there's people angry, and they're shouting, and there's so many things. It's interesting that the only person who demonstrates peace in the midst of all that
mm-hmm.
is Jesus.
That's right.
See, there's a shalom there. There's a completeness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dependent upon the circumstances. It's not dependent upon what's going on around or other people shouting or their issues. And that is what is desperately needed
mm-hmm.
in the church today, is for us to hold on to live out the shalom of Jesus.
That's
in our
right.
lives.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, Dave, in relation to that, that's such an important reality to understand, in that because we need to understand peace, as you said, according to God's definition, according to God's word, because you think of the tragedy in life, how often you hear of people that don't know the Lord but are going through great turmoil and decide they want to take their own lives, and sometimes will leave mm-hmm. a note or tell someone, I just needed some peace, and don't realize that because they don't know Jesus, not only are they not going to have peace here it's going to get much worse on the other side because they don't know Jesus. And so
that's right.
Don't even have a clear definition of what peace really is if we don't know the Lord. So, but
You look to the life of Jesus, and that's going to give you your best definition of peace.
That's right. That's right. So, but you were sharing about on your journey, you and your wife have really been blessed by the prayers of those that have blessed you and encouraged you and prayed with you in the midst of your journey.
It has been so amazing. And that's been one of the things. I look at what has been happening within me, both physically, you know, as my body has dealt with chemotherapy and you know, pretty intense sort of times, every third week away from home, spending a week in the hospital. And yet the peace of God has just been overwhelming. You know, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, as it is for many, is the 23rd Psalm, which, interesting enough, doesn't use the word peace, but it's all about peace.
That's right.
Whether we're talking about still waters or lying down in green pastures, whatever it is, but the most important part of that passage to me is what I'm going through right now. It's the valley of the shadow of death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, however you say it, as much as confidence as I believe that my ministry and life is not over, that God has much more in store for me, that I will see healing. I believe that firmly.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a perspective that says, realistically, you have stage 4 cancer. You are walking through the valley of the shadow of death.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I want to say to you. When you look at that passage, it says, but I will not fear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be afraid in the valley of the shadow of death. And the reason that I'm not afraid there, the reason I can have peace walking through that valley, is because there's someone who's with me.
That's right. That's
and, of course, the someone is Jesus. Mm-hmm. The someone has a rod and a staff. The someone is both a king and a shepherd. It's Jesus who is walking through the valley of the shadow of death.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, that seems to fit so well with something like cancer. But, you know, there are people listening who are walking through the valley of the shadow of death in a relationship because things just fell apart. Or they're walking through the valley of the shadow of death of a dream because they just lost their job and they lost their home and they're wondering how in the world they're going to make it. And the list could go on and on. There is a lot of valleys of the shadow of death that we can walk through. But the good news is we can have peace in that valley because of who's with us. Peace that I am so passionate about all centers around the person of Jesus. It isn't about meditation. It isn't about me getting things right. It isn't about the type of person or personality that you are. It is all about Jesus.
That's right.
I would even say that in a very real sense, that the peace of God is a sign of revival. You know, revival, which as we talk about biblically, is the church, Christians waking up to the presence of Christ in their midst. An overwhelming sense of the presence of Christ is what revival is. And
that's right.
That's what peace is. Peace is the presence of Christ walking with us. It doesn't always change the outer circumstances. Same way for Jesus on the night that he was betrayed. His peace did not change the outer circumstances, but it allowed him to walk through it.
That's right.
And that happens so often with us, but we're tied to those outer circumstances. We're tied to how we feel rather than to his presence. And so when you start looking at the teachings of Jesus on peace, and you get pretty excited of what is available to us as followers of Jesus.
That is so true. That is so true. And, you know, Dave, I think of this, too, as you were speaking of, like, the 23rd Psalm. The fact is, like, when a person's full of fear, you can't walk in peace and be all full of fear at the same time as well as when people have lots of stress on them. Both of those tend to push on us, and they pressure us in different ways. But as we learn to draw closer to Christ, as you are just referring to, we walk in his peace, and it pushes fear and stress out of our lives. And
you know, one of the most common commands in Scripture is fear not. Don't be afraid.
That's right. That's right.
Somehow or other, we've got to learn that as believers, that fear is not of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not. His command over and over again, don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're to walk in that peace that comes from his presence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started looking at some of the teachings of Jesus. By the way, one of the most common things that Jesus said was, peace be with you.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Peace be with you. Yeah, I know sometimes there's a tendency for us to hear something like that and think that Jesus said something like, have a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Jesus' way of just, you know, somehow a greeting.
Mm-hmm.
It is much more than that. Jesus never said an irrelevant word in his life.
Mm-hmm.
His words were always filled with meaning.
That's right.
So when Jesus looked at someone or a group of someone and said, peace be with you, he meant peace be with you.
That's
you
right.
know, he went around speaking peace.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important. You know, all the way back in the Old Testament, in Psalm 85, verse 8, it says, for he will speak peace to his people,
mm-hmm.
to his saints. And then you look in the New Testament and you see over and over again, that's exactly what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I absolutely love some of these teachings. Let me, can I share a couple of these scriptures?
Yes, sir. Please
do. Things that Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he said to them again, peace be with you.
Mm-hmm.
As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating when someone's sending you off somewhere, that's typically one of the things that steals peace from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea mm-hmm. of a journey, the idea of a new mission, the idea of doing something new, those
right.
are things that bring anxiety. So Jesus starts right off saying, I'm going to send you somewhere. Here's what you need to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Peace be with you.
That's right.
Peace be
right.
with you. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace.
Mm-hmm.
In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
That's right.
I think
God.
Christians need to kind of just let that soak in. You know,
mm-hmm.
in me, you may have peace.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't something we go running off somewhere else. I'm not suggesting to people that they go looking for peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm suggesting they go looking for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
that we draw near to him. And one of the promises that we see in Scripture from walking close to Jesus is his peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's in him, Jesus said.
That's right.
That you're going to have peace. And I love the way he says it because he's so very practical.
Mm-hmm.
He says, in me you have peace. Now, I want you to know, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. And it seems like there's two things that go totally in contrast to one another. Here's
mm-hmm.
peace, and here's tribulation. And Jesus said, you're going to have them both.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to have tribulation in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But if you will walk with me, you will have peace in the midst of tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives us even then the reason. He says, take heart, because I have overcome the world.
That's tribulation, right.
In the world is not the last word.
Amen.
It's my overcoming the world that's the last word. And if mm-hmm. you stick with me, my peace,
mm-hmm.
that will overcome this.
That's right.
You know, I think of all of these verses, mm-hmm. though my favorite is John chapter 14.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 27, Jesus said...
We'll let you share it on the other side of the break. We're coming up on another one right here. Our guest is Dr. Dave Butts, the president of Harvest Prayer Ministries. We'll be right back.
Somebody else prays at the same time I pray. Whose prayer does God hear?
He can listen to more than one prayer at a time.
What if a lot of people are praying at the same time? I bet he gets confused.
No, he's God, and he understands every prayer.
The National Day of Prayer, the first Thursday in May. A lot of people praying to a God who understands. A thought from the American Family Association.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do. In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
We say we believe that God provides, but Dr. Tony Evans knows how easily we can start doubting that when our income dries up or unexpected expenses flood in. He has an encouraging story to share with us today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
My father was a longshoreman. He unloaded and loaded boats that came into the Baltimore Harbor. Many times it would be months before he would get a call to come to the docks to do it. But my father had to feed his family. And one of the ways he did it was he would go fishing and catch fish by using nets. And the fish he would catch was herring. We had herring for breakfast. That's called fish and eggs. Herring sandwiches for lunch. Herring and vegetables for dinner. And herring and ice cream for dessert. It was just herring everywhere. That was the best he can do to make sure that his family was fed because there was not money in the house. But because he was rich in heaven, God would come up with ways to meet the need until the job opportunities opened up again. He would turn fish and sardines into Moby Dick sandwiches so his family would have something to eat. Now, if my earthly father, limited education, limited skill, limited opportunity, made sure his children got fed, and you have a heavenly father with no limitations, and you question whether he's going to meet your need?
Trusting God makes more sense when you think of your life in terms of forever instead of for now. Check out Tony's CD series, The Eternal Perspective, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Listening to the music of Mandisa, the song God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Dr. Dave Butts. He's the president of Harvest Prayer Ministries. And Dave, as we start back in this last segment, before you go back to the scriptures you're going to share, would you pray for families? You know, there's such a need for families to come to learn, to really make their home a house of prayer as well and make it a vital part of their lifestyle. Would you pray for families to grow in their knowledge of the need to make prayer a powerful foundational part of their lives?
Certainly will.
Okay.
Oh, Lord, I thank you for the gift of family.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, whether small or large, each family is precious in your sight. And we understand that prayer begins there in the home.
Thank you.
And I pray for parents who would have the courage to lead out in prayer. And I pray, for grandparents who would teach their grandchildren prayer. And I pray for young people who would get excited about what it means to come into your presence.
Thank you.
Lord, would you make our homes houses of prayer?
Yes, Lord.
Lord, they would indeed become places of peace because your presence is there as it's sought in prayer, as they continue to spend their days with you, that you literally could walk into these homes and sense the presence of Jesus because each home has become a house of prayer.
Yes, Lord.
We ask it in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dave. You were about to share a script, one or two scriptures about the topic you were dealing with on the other side of the break. If you'll pick up there.
Sure. Well, we were talking about peace, and particularly the teaching of Jesus on peace. I think of all of his teachings, my favorite is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you.
Mm-hmm.
My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You know, we just need to hear carefully the words of Jesus. Sometimes these words, these phrases become so familiar that we forget the power that is there and who said them. And he's speaking it to us. And he said, "Peace I leave with you." And then he zeroes in. What kind of peace am I talking about? It's my peace.
Mm-hmm.
My peace I give to you. Now, here's the same thing that we would say often to someone regarding salvation. That salvation is a free gift of God, but over and over again we will say, but you got to accept the gift.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take that gift in order for it to do any good for you.
That's right.
And so what I would say to our listeners is you can hear those words in John chapter 14, verse 27, and you can even nod and smile or agree, but until you accept it, and I'm convinced, see, that's why in the church, we do not have peace.
Mm-hmm.
We find just as many Christians as non-Christians who have to rely on drugs and therapy and everything else to find peace, and I'm not being against those things. I'm just saying that first of all, foremost, we need to start by accepting the peace of Christ into our life.
That's right.
You know, it is not an unusual thing for me to simply, in prayer, say, "Lord, I thank you that you have given me your peace. It's what you said. I accept that. I'm so grateful. I thank you for your peace that is in my life." And, you know, the interesting thing is you can say that even when you are in a time of turmoil, when anxiety is attacking you, but you hold on to and you listen to and you believe the words of Jesus. "My peace I give to you." Jesus knows exactly what he's talking about. And it's not as the world gives. It's not an absence of hostility. It's not a superficial sort of thing. It's something that's deep inside. And because of that, our hearts do not have to be troubled. We do not have to be attacked continually by fear. Why? Because we have something that's supernatural. And we just need to hear that. It's supernatural. This isn't just a nice thing. It isn't just on a list of nice Christian attributes. This is the Lord of the universe who speaks to us and says, "I've got something I want to give you. It is my peace."
That's
now, the
right.
disciples had that one advantage over us, and that is they got to see it lived out daily. We see glimpses of it in Scripture. But we know how important it is. So
That's
I'm
right.
absolutely convinced for us, as we start talking about in our own lives and praying over this, that the peace of Christ begins to guard our hearts, begins to come into us. And you know what happens is when a church begins to look at the Scriptures on this, it changes not only the individual, but it begins to change the whole church body.
That's right.
All too often, churches have been known for places of dissension and argument. I'm afraid. I'm sorry, but that's just the truth, and we all know it. Mm-hmm. You know, we know, and sometimes even the church that we're part of, you know, there are times when they're fussing and fighting over silly things.
That's right.
But rather mm-hmm. than that, we're to be places of peace where mm-hmm. the peace of Christ rules. And so because of that, when you look at the teachings of Jesus, it's an easy step to turn and look at the epistles mm-hmm. of the wonderful, practical teachings that is given to us. I think of how Paul wrote to the Colossians, mm-hmm. and he said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Hmm. You know, I love the way Paul did that, because he's talking both individual and then together as the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our hearts, the peace of Christ is to rule in our hearts. It literally is to be there and, in a sense, judge other emotions as they come.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be a lot of other things that are going to try to come in to our lives, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. But when the peace of Christ is ruling, you know, it's judging those other things.
Mm-hmm.
But then what Paul does in a brilliant way is he takes that from an individual and he said, now, this kind of life is what you are called in one body. This ought to mark believers.
Mm-hmm.
This ought to mark churches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what sort of situation we're in. This ought to mark us. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, Joseph, I get to thinking about this in our nation.
Mm-hmm.
We are a sadly divided nation right now.
That's right.
I mean,
we are so
divided.
Mm-hmm.
And the division, unfortunately, is not just outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's inside the church.
That's right.
Last election
mm-hmm.
really brought a lot of division into the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people always understand that. And I'm not here to be political on this. I'm simply saying that regardless of what happens in elections, the peace of Christ is intended to rule in our hearts.
That's
and
right.
to be evident in our body, in
mm-hmm.
the body of Christ.
That
and
is so
true. We can't accept dissension. We can't accept divisiveness, not when we have drawn near to Jesus and we're walking in the peace of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I love how you read, I think, at the beginning from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It's just one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
let your request be made known to God.
Mm-hmm.
The peace of God,
the peace
which
of
surpasses
God.
All understanding, mm-hmm. will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want, just quick, let me just tell you, I want the peace of Christ to guard my heart and my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot think of a better guard. You know, and the guard has the idea of someone who's watching,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to make sure that other things don't creep in
right.
and create
right.
damage mm-hmm. and dissension.
Mm-hmm.
I want the peace of Christ set firmly as a guard
mm-hmm.
on my heart, on my mind, watching over my thoughts and my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the promise of God.
That's right.
Not just simply my longing.
Mm-hmm.
It's what God wants to give me.
That's
Isn't that
right.
great?
That's great. That's great. And Dave, I tell you, if you would take a moment now, our time is almost gone. We have just a few more moments, though. But, you know, as you speak of that peace, of course, as you've referred to it, it's something only those that know Christ will experience. Would you take a moment to invite someone that's listening? There might be someone listening that's never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, or was thinking about it, or maybe they're not sure. But would you take a moment to lead them in prayer to make that step? Because they'll only experience that peace you're talking about once they come to know him. Would you take time now to do that?
I would love to do that.
Okay.
Lord, I just thinking of
Thank you.
Wonderful passage that comes from Ephesians chapter 2:17, where it says that you, Lord Jesus, came and you preached peace
yes, Lord
to
Jesus.
Those who were far off
Thank
and
you.
Peace to those who are near.
Mm.
Lord, there are those today listening who are perhaps far off. They have not yet made Jesus Savior and Lord. And yet,
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
you came and you preached peace to them.
Yes,
you are offering that peace to them, that peace, first of all, with the Father,
Thank
because
you,
of
Jesus.
Who you are, because of your love, because of
Thank
your sacrifice.
God,
Lord, I pray that right now your Holy Spirit would do a work in people's lives,
yes,
that they would hear you preach,
yes,
as you preach peace, as you offer people a reconciliation to God himself because of your sacrifice. Lord, do a mighty work.
Thank you.
As you offer peace that transforms hearts and minds.
Thank you, Lord.
Completely lives because of your peace.
Thank you,
Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dave. And I tell you, we just we do have a few more minutes before we finish, but I want to ask you this. On your website, it said Prayer Focus Weekends, and it mentioned four topics. Number one said building prayer into the life of your church. Number two was spiritual warfare. Three, pray like the king. And number four, learning to love to pray. Can you just summarize what those four topics are about as it relates to your ministry?
Mm-hmm. You know, those are really, each one is kind of a whole weekend.
Okay.
So you would take one of those, like the becoming a praying church,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so we'd come in and take a Friday night and maybe a Saturday morning, and I typically preach on a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and share with the congregation, what does it mean to be a praying church? Another one of the topics, for instance, would be pray like the king, and that's where we study the Old Testament, and we look at the prayers that were actually prayed by Israel's kings. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm convinced the Holy Spirit put those prayers in Scripture to teach us.
Mm-hmm.
I love to sit at the feet of David and, mm-hmm. and Solomon and mm-hmm. Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat and listen to them pray
mm-hmm.
and pull from them things that are so critical in my prayer life. So
mm-hmm.
so each one of those is a particular theme for a weekend where we would come in and spend some time with the church, and we adjust to a church's best time, what works best for them.
Right.
Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's an all-day Saturday, whatever works. But we just love to come in and teach from God's Word
mm-hmm.
in ways that will cause people to grow in prayer.
Amen. Amen. Well, David, again, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. And I guess as it relates to these topics, in other words, it's a weekend seminar that you do on each one of these particular issues the topics I just read, correct?
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay, then. Share your website once again if someone wants to learn more about Harvest Prayer Ministries.
It is harvestprayer.com. H-A-R-V-E-S-T, prayer, harvestprayer.com.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of free materials on there.
Okay.
Love for people to come and check us out.
All righty. Dave, thank you so much for being with us on the Hour of Intercession today. We appreciate you.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
All righty. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. And join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk.
Urban Family Talk.